A town shrouded in enchantment and mystery. A place where magic weaves through the streets, and every corner holds a secret waiting to be discovered. This is the story of a town where the ordinary meets the extraordinary, and where the line between reality and the supernatural blurs. Get ready to be enchanted, to believe in magic, and to discover that the strongest power of all lies within the bonds we forge and the love we share. Welcome to Havenbrook.
Welcome back to Havenbrook,
the small, idyllic town touched by the supernatural.
Last time, Nell Blake and Lucas Miller found themselves changing their plans to help the book signing event taking place at Serendipity by world-renowned author Marcus Jenkins.
The three decided to investigate a Havenbrook mystery and went to find the source of a haunting songstress out at the lake.
Things turned dire when local handyman Hal Bennett, deep in a trance, climbed the stairs of the lighthouse to dance with the ghostly woman.
Unable to reach him in time, Nell, Lucas, and Marcus watched in terror as Hal plummeted from the upper story.
And that's where we'll resume today's tale. Oh my God, Hal!
Hal! Nell had just yelled, and the ghostly figure of the woman up at the top turns to look at us all and vanishes. As she vanishes, the seemingly elongated lighthouse, the stairs had taken forever, the rock had seemed bigger than it was when we got there, all seems to go back to normal size. We are already in the lighthouse. Sam, do you remember if we were at, if we had reached the top or we were still at the bottom?
I think we're still at the bottom. Yeah, we were watching him from the top.
Knowing that there's nothing we can do by going up, we all rush out of the lighthouse to try to find Hal. As we exit the lighthouse, we see Hal, who should, by all logic of the natural world, be crumpled into a disastrous heap on the rocks. But instead, we see he's sort of floating very slowly down towards the ground, and then very gently laid upon the rocks, unconscious, but a glimmering figure stands beside him. Figure will not be familiar to Marcus, but would be to Lucas and Nell. Standing next to him, pushing some of the hair out of his face, is Betty Bennett, Hal's wife who had recently passed. She leans closer, kisses him gently, and says, "It's not your time yet, Hal," before looking over to us and saying, "Make sure he's okay," and vanishing.
You saw that, right?
Betty? Did you see Betty?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then I saw it.
She looked pretty good for a dead woman.
I mean, kind of better than she had in a while, honestly. I think Marcus is looking at us like we are full-blown insane, but he also saw it.
Lucas snaps to and then runs over to Hal to check on him, make sure he's okay.
Yeah, Nell is right on your heels there. "Oh, Hal. And we're trying to like lightly slap his cheeks a little bit. Like, come on, buddy, wake up. I think it's kind of clear that he's gone through a lot. His eyes slowly open. He says, "Did I see Betty?" Before his eyes shut again and he passes back out.
Well, this is going to be a fun trek. Marcus, can you help us carry him back to the boat? We could take him to Alex.
Gonna assume that Marcus agrees. Okay. Otherwise, we're going to shame him a lot.
We are going to shame him a lot. All right. So I think we need to do a roll because this would be something that is very difficult for the three of us to do because we're not used to carrying people.
Also, it's rocky, it's slippery, and we have to get him back on a fucking paddle boat. Thank you so much for that, Sam.
You're welcome.
What did you do?
We drop him.
We've rolled twice for this game, exactly twice, and both times we've gotten ones. So that's unfortunate.
However, I rolled for Marcus and he got a 6. So
I got a 3. So I think I'm trying to help because Marcus didn't run up as quick as we did. So yeah. I'm trying to help. And just for ease of not killing this elderly man, I think I'm trying to grab him by the shoulders, and you have, like, the whole, like, you were trying to grab him in a different way. You were trying to, like, pick him up almost by, like, the torso in a way.
I'm going to say that Lucas falls into the rocks, and that's what happens. I think that would be, because of it being slippery, I think he went to go grab him, but then slips on some algae rocks and falls backwards.
Okay, yep, because Nell rolled a 3, which is also a complication or failure, but because it's a 3, I'm going to call it a complication. Mm-hmm. I thought you were getting the other part of him and was not prepared to just be the only person holding on to Hal. And I'm like, oh my God, he's slipping. And then Marcus will run up and just very easily scoop him up and carry him like a baby.
Because he's Mr. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think that I hurt my butt.
Oh, Lucas. Since Marcus has that handled, Nell will kind of scramble over the rocks to try and help you up off.
Why did we decide to do this again? As he's rubbing his butt.
To be fair, we didn't think that this was going to happen.
True.
So I've fallen in the water and have a little bit of a blood situation and a band-aid. You have fallen and possibly bruised your tailbone. Marcus, who we were laughing at because he's wearing like a name brand white turtleneck sweater and all of this like fancy shoes that aren't meant for actually roughing it. He is doing fine. He looks great.
He does look great. As Lucas is limping back to the paddle boat, he pulls out his cell phone and he starts to scroll through his contacts and then ends up calling Alex.
I'm going to assume that Alex is the doctor.
Yes, he is. His name is Alex Grant.
Okay. Alex Grant, our doctor. That we, because it's a small Hallmarky town, everybody knows our doctor by first name.
They call him Dr. Alex, and he has this unusual ability to make everybody feel better.
That's a good supernatural power to have when you're a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not supernatural. It's just...
He's just a good doctor.
He's just a very good doctor. Alex, we found Hal. He seems to be unconscious. Nell slipped and hit her head, and I think I broke my tailbone because my ass hurts. Could you open the office? We'll be there. And how long do you think it's going to take us to paddle boat across the lake with all these people? I'm looking at Nell.
Give him like a solid, because then we don't have anything to like easily transport him once we get to shore either. So like, he's going to have to be carried again. Why don't you go ahead and say 45 minutes? 30 to 45 minutes.
We'll be there 30 to 45 minutes. You can hear on the other line, is everybody okay? And I don't know, but meet us there as we make it to the dock. You see that Marcus has put Hal in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And he's taking up almost the whole back seat.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we have a couple options. I'm smallest, so I can sit back there, sort of. It's not going to be pretty. I'm going to have to sort of sit on, like, the top of the seats. Like, my butt is going to be in contact with both of you, and you're going to have to deal with it. Or, Lucas, you could do that because you're a little stronger to make sure he doesn't fall off the paddle boat. And then I can paddle. Options. How are we feeling?
Well, he looks pretty, like, Hal's butt is in the seat, so I don't think he'll fall out. Okay. Like, he's slumped down in there, so we wouldn't have to hold him. Well, if you would like to sit in the middle of us, you could hang on to both of us while we're paddling.
Okay, that's going to be much, I mean, still a little uncomfortable, but more comfortable than my suggestion, so. Okay. And we very awkwardly climb onto this paddle boat. I think that logistically it almost would have worked better if I went and sat in the middle first and then you both came in on the sides. But mm-hmm. instead you both take your seats and then I awkwardly climb all over to get to the middle. And it's just an absolute disaster. There's butts and faces, hands in places. Everybody is like, what is happening?
We paddle back to shore without any problems, and we do notice that the noises of the lake has come back. So there's crickets, there's frogs.
Mm-hmm. Never thought I'd be so happy to hear a bullfrog.
Yes. So
yeah, sort of glance over at Marcus. How are you liking Havenbrook?
Mystery that I could solve.
The whole town? I don't know if you can solve the whole town. But we could work on this.
It's true. I could write about it. Your mayor really wanted to make this a fun mystery destination. I think this might help.
I honestly don't know that mystery tourism is exactly what we're looking for, but I'm not the mayor, so who am I to say? How's your butt doing?
It hurts. How's your head?
But she reaches a hand up. She's like, I had kind of forgotten it. And as she touches the bandage, she's like, ow. Oh, that's tender. Oh, yeah, because there's lake water in it. Yep. Yep. That's going to be fun. Alex is going to love us. We're a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We make it back to shore. We carry Hal a little bit more easily now that Marcus is helping us.
There's not any slippery rocks.
Yes. And we make it to the Havenbrook Clinic. You can see the lights on and you can see Alex in some scrubs and he's got things all set and he's just staring at you guys when you walk up and he runs to open the door.
I think he also has a wheelchair so we can put Hal down. Thanks so much for opening up, Alex.
No problem. It's my job.
We sort of look at each other like Alex hasn't asked exactly what happened. And if he doesn't ask, we aren't going to tell him. Like,
those are kind of the rules of the town is that unless somebody says anything, no matter what happens, everybody seems to ignore it.
Yeah. We just found him unconscious out at the lighthouse. Why were you at the mm-hmm. lighthouse? What happened to him? You don't ask.
How did he become unconscious? Yeah. Yeah. he wheels him into one of the clinic's rooms, checks on him a little bit. After like 20-ish minutes, he comes back out and he's resting good. I'm not sure why he's unconscious, but it looks like nothing's broken. Nothing's hurt. He's just exhausted.
Exhausted. Maybe a little shock. Could have been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, good, good. Do you have some wound wash? I think I got lake in my head.
He's like, okay, come with me. He takes you to the next one and he sits you down and then hands you a lollipop like you're a kid.
And without even a thought, rip that crinkly ass plastic off and stick it in my mouth.
He takes off the bandage and he starts cleaning your wound. All right. That's a pretty deep wound. I'm going to have to do some stitches.
Lovely. Okay.
He gets up out of his seat and then walks over to one of his filing cabinets and pulls out the stuffed bear. Hold this.
Yeah. I hold that and I'm going to assume he's a good enough doctor to be using some local anesthetic.
Yes, he does the whole thing.
Yeah.
It goes without saying. He's got the touch. He starts working on it. You don't feel anything except for a little bit of pressure. And he's talking to you through the whole process about how, like, it's just a, you know, it's a good clean wound. Won't leave a scar. You'll just have to wear a bandage for a couple days and it should heal itself. He's using the good stitches to where he won't have to remove them. They'll just dissolve.
Oh, good. Good. I think I'm just sort of staring forward at the ground, holding this bear, lollipop, whole thing. I am a little bit dissociated from the moment, I think. Trying to figure out why we have some sort of siren woman in our weird lighthouse that nobody talks about that we have that doesn't make any sense. There's just a lot. And Nell's brain goes a couple places. Because she grew up at Serendipity and all things fantastical seem a little bit possible there. She's intrigued by those ideas, but she also has always been very much a researcher. So she goes immediately from the fantastical weirdness of everything that's happening to, I have got to get my hands on some books because what is happening? I think the stitches and whatever doesn't take too long. It's deep, but it's just a little head wound. It's not a huge thing he's got to stitch up. And then I'll head back out and point at Lucas. Your turn.
You see him laying across chairs on his stomach, and Marcus is rubbing his lower back area because he's like, well, you slipped, you fell. I'm trying to assist because you're in pain and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to be nice.
I tilt my head and quirk an eyebrow a little bit at this whole situation. Do you guys need a minute?
Marcus starts laughing. No, I'm just trying to help. I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you. As Lucas rolls off the chairs and hobbles towards the room.
As you're passing by, I'll hand you the teddy bear.
And he grabs it and holds it.
I'll go sit down next to Marcus. Still kind of, I don't know. A little out of it. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, does this normally happen where nobody acknowledges anything in your little town?
She just silently nods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not... You know how you asked about the lighthouse, and we were like, oh my god, I guess that is weird. This is another one of those things. I've never really thought about it before. But we do have a very, yeah, something weird happened. Just go with it. Vibe.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before, but I guess I can try to go with it. I mean, some of this stuff isn't out of the realm of possibility.
I nudge him a little bit, and you thought it was chemtrails.
Well, I mean... As a matter of fact, someone's burning some massive amounts of pot somewhere, and we are just inhaling like no tomorrow.
For this? Honey, this isn't a pot situation. You need something stronger.
He laughs.
I've never wanted to go to work so bad.
Oh yeah, we should probably figure out what the deal with the lighthouse and that woman is.
I have so many questions that I didn't I should have thought were questionable before now, but there's a lot about this town that's just kind of different and weird, and we just have accepted for a long time. It's going to be hard to sleep tonight.
Yes, it will. Alex comes out to the waiting room. You guys might as well just head home. I'll stay here with Hal, and I gave Lucas something to take the edge off. He might be a little bit unconscious as you look into the room, and he's holding the teddy bear on his stomach, and he's just drooling.
What did you give him?
A muscle relaxer?
And he just immediately passed out?
No, we were having a conversation, and then he passed out. You guys must have had an exciting day.
You could call it that, yeah. I think I look over at Marcus in his still pristinely white sweater. And I just am like a little resentful and angry that after all of what had happened tonight, he's fine. He's not hurt. He's got mud on his clothes. He just... Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for everything, Alex. We'll probably swing by in the morning just to see how Hal's doing and maybe collect Lucas if he's still here.
I'm sure he will be. He doesn't take much that often, and I gave him a little bit stronger than normal.
Okay. Thanks. And I will throw out my lollipop stick on the way out the door.
And Marcus heads with you, and you walk down the street of your quiet Havenbrook town.
I think I take a deep breath, and I'm looking at the town, and it's so weird that something so kind of dark and mysterious and creepy and supernatural happened just over there, just a little bit away. But somehow here in the middle of town, with the glow of the lights and the little sort of cobblestone sidewalks, it just feels quaint, picturesque, like home. I think we pass by the inn first. So we'll stop and sort of awkwardly stand outside of the inn. See you tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, I've got to do that mystery workshop that your mayor wants. And I mean, I'm curious to figure out what the heck the lighthouse and the lady is.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. And I like finger guns at him awkwardly.
And he gives you a awkward smile and waves goodbye and heads in.
I think I turn around and I'm like, oh, that was painful. Possibly more painful than the head injury as I head back home and turn in for the night. So I think the night passes. I don't think that any... Well, okay. I think Lucas gets a great night's sleep because of drugs. But
yep.
I think Nell doesn't sleep well. I imagine Marcus doesn't sleep well either. Because this is a lot to go from no supernatural whatever in your life to...
heavy.
All of this in a night. And... it was a busy day already anyway. He doesn't normally do book signings. He doesn't do all this publicity bull crap. So that can be very taxing on people depending on their level of extroversion or introversion. So it's a rough night for the two of us, but I am up very early and rushing out, not even really stopping to say anything to my family. Just a little note. Went to work early. Love you, bye. And I'm going to head out towards the clinic.
You make it to the clinic just fine. You see Alex in there just chilling. He's talking with Hal, who seemed to have gotten up, as if nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm. I walk in and I make like a big sigh of relief that Hal is up, moving around, seems to feel fine. And walk over. Oh, Hal, how are you doing? Oh, just fine. Just fine. Can't remember much about last night. Had a very weird dream. Oh, a weird dream? Was dancing. And then I fell. But Betty saved me. And he gets a little, like, wistful, a little teary-eyed. Betty's been gone. I mean, it hasn't been. It's not like she died a week ago. But it's also been less than a year. And he's still feeling pretty bad about everything. Still missing her an awful lot. Nell's going to nod and put a hand on his shoulder. Sounds like it was a little scary, but nice to know that she was looking out for you. And he nods. It was good to see her again. She looked so good. Nell nods, about to say, yeah, she did. And then she's like, nope. Zip your lip. And then I will go see if Lucas is still around.
Lucas is. He's still in the same spot that you saw him, and he is still drooling.
I sigh and shake my head and grab one of those awful paper towels that are in all the public restrooms. That's just, they're so rough. They're so gross. You barely want to wipe your hands with them. But I'm going to wipe his face with that rough brown paper.
The crinkling seems to wake him up. That was the best night's sleep I've ever had. And now it's coming back to me what just happened. And my butt doesn't hurt, so that's a good sign.
It's a great sign, really.
Was I here all night?
You were. I throw away his drool towel. Yeah, Alex gave you a muscle relaxer. And you were just out like a light.
Well, that's good. How's Hal doing? Is he awake?
Yeah, he's fine. He's out there talking to Alex right now. And all he remembers about yesterday is a dream that he was dancing, falling, and Betty saved him.
Well, at least he doesn't remember everything, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, should we hit the library after I change quick and we get some coffee?
I do love coffee, but I actually think I'm going to head to the library to see if I can get a head start. Lily's going to want me to actually do some work today, I think, so.
Are you sure about that?
What, about wanting me to do work?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know about that.
Lily's odd. She wants someone to take over for her, but I don't want to sound goofy, but she doesn't let you do a lot of the stuff.
She's having a hard time with the retirement idea, I think. And she doesn't have a lot besides the library. That sounds really weird and awful, but she doesn't ever talk about grandkids or trips or anything like that. And maybe she does all of that stuff, but she doesn't ever talk about it. So,
well, I'll bring everybody some noshes too. I'll pick up Marcus from the inn while I'm at it. We'll meet you there for some research. Sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay.
See ya soon. And head out and thank Alex again on my way out and head over to the library. Once I get to the library, I'm so early. Really, realistically, Lily shouldn't be here. Things shouldn't be open, shouldn't whatever, but we get to the door at around the same time. Oh, hi, you're here so early. Well, so are you. Nice to see that sort of initiative as she's unlocking the door. She's trying to unlock the door, I think, as she's trying to get the key in. I can see her hand shaking really badly. And she's doing the thing where you're trying to put the key in, but it just keeps missing the slot where keys go. And you just have to search around a little bit till it finds the spot. Nell sort of reaches out and says, "Here, let me help," and helps guide Lily's hand to the spot. "Oh, thank you, dear. I'm having a bit of a rough morning. Had some weird dreams last night." "Oh, what sort of dreams did you have?" "Oh, just things I don't want to worry your pretty little head about." And she pats my hand as we head in. I think we are getting everything sort of set up. The library is a weird, beautiful place. It's looking from the outside. It's three stories and it is gray brick, and there's ivy growing on the outside. There's a couple stained glass windows. It's one of the first buildings that was built in Havenbrook. So it's been around since the 1800s. It's beautiful and old and rich in history. And truthfully, the only people who come in it are tourists. Because with the internet and bookstores and things, Amazon and whatever, most people can't live without a home internet connection. And that was one of the last little legs that libraries, like across the country, really have, as a, you can come here and use internet or printers or whatever that you don't have at home here. But now most people have that. So aside from occasional school trips or kind of community gatherings and tourists coming in to see the beautiful old building, the library is very empty. And the two of us being here so early doesn't make sense. People aren't beating down a door to get in the library other than Nell. So as they're kind of going about their business, Lily looks over at Nell, kind of watching her get everything set up, and slowly nods to herself and just says, "I have some paperwork stuff I'm going to be working on for a while today, dear. So if you need me, I'll be back in the office." Nell nods. "Of course, Lil, just let me know if you need anything." And I think Lucas is going to stop by with some pastries and coffee. "Do you want anything?" And she'll say yes. She'll say no, but I know that her saying no means when Lucas gets here with the pastries, bring her one. I start to immediately, as soon as Lily's back in the office, I beeline to Archives of Newspapers. And that's where I will be when you guys show up.
Marcus and Lucas bring the coffee, hands you one, your mocha with a little bit of mint and extra whipped cream.
Perfect as always, Lucas. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I brought Lily her usual lavender tea that she likes with a kiss of honey.
Absolutely. You know what? I think that she is trying to decide if I think it will be more fun for Lily to get the treat from Lucas himself instead of Nell bringing it back. And then she has another thought and she's like, "Marcus, would you do me a huge favor?"
"Sure."
"Would you take that and one of these?" And she pulls out like a jelly donut. It's like covered in powdered sugar. It's the messiest donut to eat. They are Lily's favorite, without fail, on her beautifully pristine blouse and whatever. She's going to get a big dollop of jelly on it. Happens every time. But they are her favorite. "If you bring these with me, Lily was working yesterday, so she didn't get a chance to really meet you or know you were in town. So,
oh,
I mean, she knew you sure. were in town, but yeah. So we'll head on back and I'll knock on her door and peek my head in. Hey, Lily, food's here. And I'll just open the door and let Marcus deliver it. Are you Marcus Jenkins?
Yes. So he reaches out his hand and shakes it. I hear you're a fan of my books, Nell says.
Well, I mean, who isn't?
True. Do you have a favorite that you'd like me to sign?
Oh, I don't have any of my own books here, but I couldn't have you sign one of the library ones. I know you're an author and everything, but that just feels like desecrating one of the books, you know?
That's true. But it'd also make it a highly sought-after collector's edition for your library.
Oh. She's really thinking about that. They have a section, sort of a little bit more protected, that's first editions and the more valuable items. She's like, it's hard to think that a cheesy murder mystery novel should go in a section like that, even with the author's signature on it, because it's just doesn't seem of the same caliber. But you never know, it could over time become useful. And then she sort of gets lost in thought for a minute and goes far, far away. And it's just sort of an awkward silence as he's like, I could sign this book for you. Silence. And she breaks out of it. Well, you know, that would probably be just, it would be good. And she will go to get the book and come back. And it's one of the hardcover ones. And it's one of the ones that has no picture on it. And she will hand that to him to sign.
Oh, okay. So we're going to dedicate this to future readers. And he starts writing in it, and it's a big old long, wonderful spiel about how they made the right choice in choosing this book, and that he hopes that it inspires them to unravel mysteries of their own and to never stop using their imagination.
Lily's going to read the message once she gets the book back and smile to herself. Beautiful words. I think we need more people in Havenbrook with words like these. And take a bite of her jelly donut as it little raspberry blotches fall onto her blouse. Okay, well, we don't want to keep you anymore, Lily, Nell says. We're gonna we have a couple things to research, and I'll be watching out for people coming in and all of that. And Lily just sort of nods. They're both not saying what they both know. No one's going to come in, probably.
Yeah.
And we head back over to the newspaper section. And Nell shows you guys that I've been working on this a little bit since I got here. The newspapers don't go back that far. And everything I can find, and she's pulling up just like maps of the town, some of the oldest maps of the town that they can find. The lighthouse has always been there. And it just, they can't find any real references to it in any of the articles or anything, which seems weird because, yeah, it's weird that this lighthouse is here, but that there's no news stories about it. There's no annual, or this lighthouse has been here 100 years. There's no memorials. There's no anything. There's no events that happen about it. No one talks about the lighthouse at all. It's just there. And she sort of sighs and looks back at both of you. I think I have to go from these, which are like physical copies, as far back as she can find. She's also pulled out some microfiche that she's been looking at. I still obviously have a lot more to look at. I've only been looking for a little bit, but She's very efficient in finding the things that she needs to find in the library because she spent so much time here. But she hasn't had the time to amass all of it and look through it. So I think she'll sort of spread out the information that we can all start digging through.
Okay. And I think it should be montage time.
Absolutely montage time. I think with some of like the very old papers, Inel's got like fancy gloves and a whatever, so she's going to insist that she be the one to look through those. Whereas the microfiche is just like flipping through on the thing. So one of you can do that.
I think it'd be Lucas because he has the more not so delicate touch. So he's going to do the thing that he won't break or rip or tear.
Okay. So we have that. And then I think I'll also have pulled down some history books of Havenbrook. They're all very thin history books. The town has been here since the early 1800s, but there's not a lot of information out there. It's, but the couple little things we have, I'll bring those out for him to sort of look through. In everybody's research, all that we really know is that nobody mentions the lighthouse, that the founder of Havenbrook was a man named Henry Whitaker, and he and his wife Martha had a bunch of kids, and the Whitakers have pretty much not left Havenbrook and been a very integral part of the town and everything since. If we really delve into it, I think we also end up finding out that our current mayor, Ed Gallagher, is actually is a descendant of Henry and Martha Whitaker, which I think is part of why he's the only person who ever runs for mayor. It's just, I don't think people know that he's a descendant of the founder of the town, but it just has always felt like he's the person who's supposed to be our mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of the most that we find going through. Some of the other original buildings from when the town was founded, the lighthouse, the library, the town hall, are the three main ones. And then there's a building that looks like it is the house, the Whitaker home. And those are kind of the four main original buildings in town, all of which are still standing. So I think in our montage, we're seeing bits of that, seeing blueprints and flipping through pages, and Nell carefully looking through pages with her gloved hand, being very careful as she turns pages. We'll see Lucas flipping through, and like, I think he's tapping his pen on a notepad, like making little drummy noises and writing down anything he finds as interesting. And that sort of concludes the montage with not a ton of information, just that we know who founded the town.
Okay. So we have another mystery on top of our other mystery.
What's that?
Well, the Whitakers, they founded our town. And it sounds like the mayor is connected to them. So do we go talk to the mayor?
I mean, we could. I don't know. I don't know if there's a ton that the mayor is going to know. I think that if he knew how directly he's related to the founder of the town, don't you think that would be in all of his speeches always?
That's true, actually. He would be like, my forefathers founded this town. We need to keep it. Yeah.
It would be a big talking point for him. He would be all about it. So I don't know that he knows that much. I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking outside of the box enough. And she goes to start putting the books back. As Nell starts putting the history of Havenbrook back, she gets that little twingy, almost going to sneeze feeling that she did when she held the rubber duck. And she sort of freezes in place, closes her eyes. And when she opens them back up, she notices that there is, on the side of the bookcase, a little lighthouse etching. She slides the book back into place. Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think I found something.
Now they come over towards you.
I gently touch the lighthouse etching or engraving. Never really noticed these before. Are they everywhere? And we'll start sort of searching to see if there are other lighthouse pictures.
Okay.
What eventually we will notice is that the lighthouses all have a beam of light coming out of them. And if you follow the direction of the light beam, eventually you'll find another lighthouse. So it takes a little while because there seems to be no starting point of the lighthouses. And we're all sort of finding separate lighthouses and following them. But eventually, we end up all at the same bookcase. And it's just kind of an often overlooked section in biographies. Well, what of these books looks out of place or different?
One of these things is not like the other.
Mm-hmm. Or I think we also at some point just try to like shake the bookcase a little bit. And it's firmly, you can't knock it down. It is attached to the wall. I just wanted to make sure. I know what happens next, but I wanted to make sure that role-wise, it would happen. And it
okay. Hey.
Yes. Otherwise, I was going to have to try and have somebody else figure it out. So Nell, with her ability to sort of get the signs from spirits and energies around her, is looking through the titles. And as she's looking, there's one book that's relatively thin. It looks pretty old and has a kind of worn, almost a dusty pink cover, and in gold lettering down the side, it says, "The Lost Diary of Charlotte Sinclair." But barely visible, just where the little Dewey Decimal sticker comes to wrap around the book, you can see the very top of a lighthouse. I think it's this one? And she pulls out the book, and nothing happens.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
She's sort of looking at the book. Yeah. And starts flipping through it. Okay. She flips to the end. Most of these pages are blank. It seems to stop when she got married. And then there's nothing after that. But the pages are still in it. It's such a weird book. We're not playing D&D. I want you to make an investigation check. okay. I don't know.
I'll have Lucas do a roll because of his unique supernatural ability as aura reading. So he gets feeling like colors and feelings off things and people.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to try and do that.
Yeah.
5.
Perfect. 5 is what I need. As Lucas is looking at the bookcase, he squints and gets a little closer. The back of the bookcase, behind where that book was, there's another lighthouse, but it has no light beam. He reaches out kind of instinctually. It has a weird aura to it with, you can decide what color you want this aura to be and what it means to you. But whatever color and feeling you get, you notice that the color, the aura is moving, and it's moving kind of in a clockwise circle.
Okay. What kind of feeling would I get off it that would determine the color?
The feeling you're getting is, I don't know what kind of an aura you would have for this, but a secret that wants to be revealed.
I'm going to say it's blue, because blue is calm, clarity, and communication. So okay. I think, actually, you know what? Let's go with indigo. I think that works better, because that would be a deep understanding.
Okay.
An intuition. So I think that works better. So it glows indigo, and he just reaches out and touches the lighthouse.
You get almost a tingling, warm sensation in your hand as you touch it. Nothing happens as you touch it, but you feel so strongly that you are on that brink of something.
Hey, guys, there's another lighthouse behind here, and it's giving off a little bit of a strange aura?
Nell holds on to the book. Hmm? Who do I want to figure it out? Oh, there's no light beam on that one.
Mm-mm.
What kind of a weird aura?
Indigo, which is trying to... Something needs to be... Oh, and he reaches in his pocket and pulls out his phone and turns on the flashlight and flashes it on there. Is that a little bit better for you guys to see?
We sort of look over at you. We don't see indigo. It's part of the wood.
Oh, okay.
I will also say, when you touched it, you did notice that it's, because it's in the back of a bookcase, it's very dark and it's hard to see it when you shine in there. But also when you put your light on it, the rest of us can probably see. The lighthouse is raised from the bookcase.
Raised. Okay.
Like it's a separate piece of wood.
Oh. Well, can I pull it off? Pull it out?
No.
Oh. Does it swivel?
So you're trying to swivel it, and I think first you push it this way, and then you push from the left to the right. Where on the lighthouse are you hitting it?
In the middle? Yeah, in the middle area.
It doesn't swivel, but you feel the slightest give up towards the top.
Okay. Then I'm going to move and push it towards the top.
It starts to turn and rotate. And if you keep pushing, like the aura was moving in the...
Yeah, clockwise.
Clockwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can push it all the way clockwise. And when you do, you feel something sort of click behind the lighthouse. You aren't exactly sure why, it just feels like the right thing to do. You push it. And as soon as you do that, we all hear a click and a release of air in a way. In the bookcase, the whole wall pushes out.
Did you know this was here?
I had no idea. I wonder if this... Lucas, is this the third floor?
Oh, I hope so. What kind of dark secrets are hiding on the third floor that they have to hide behind a locked bookcase?
I don't know. I look over to Marcus and say, this is very hardy, boys.
He starts writing things down in a notebook that he brought with this time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be some juicy stuff for my new book.
We kind of glance around because we're doing something surreptitious. Like, we just, there's no one in the library and we know it, but we're all just suddenly like, I hope no one sees.
And did we do something wrong that we weren't supposed to do?
Right. And we sort of like sneak back behind the bookcase. And there is a kind of narrow passage that is a set of stairs leading up to the third floor. Once we get up to the third floor, it's a whole floor. It's not just some dusty attic space or storage area that people put things away to ignore for a while. It's eerie up here. Everything is weirdly dustless, but seems like it has been preserved from time. Over to the left-hand side, there's a door. And then over to the right-hand side is a hallway that leads back a little further. And it's made to look, going down that way isn't going to get you anything fun. But you can sort of see by the dim light coming in through a stained glass window down at the far end of the right-hand side that there's bookcases down there.
So, shall we open the door? Lucas puts his fingers together, all excited-like.
Nell is almost beside herself with, oh my god, there's a secret level to the library. There are bookshelves down there. These are books that, who knows what could be on those shelves. It might not even be books. It might be something else. It could be, oh my god, there's so much. And she's just very, very giddy. But I think Lucas will notice that same aura on the door.
Okay. Let's open the door. And he goes to reach the door handle.
It opens, no problem.
Let's see what's behind door number one. And he opens the door.
This area, you see fully furnished living quarters. Where you open the door is kind of like opening into a living room. The furniture is all quite old, but because of the weird, dare I say, magical feeling of this floor, it's old, but it's well preserved. It's still good. No termites have gotten to the wood. Nothing is scratched and faded from sunlight. Everything looks good, beautiful. There's a little kitchenette in a way, but it's missing a lot of modern day amenities. There's a bedroom with a big 4-poster canopy bed made. There's a washstand that's got the old timey basin and the pitcher. It's hard to tell in this space when someone last lived here, but someone did at some point. And as you're looking around, think you see on a desk in a corner some papers and a picture frame. And the desk is giving off the indigo.
He goes and he looks at the desk. He checks out the picture first because it's easy to look at. And then he'll look at the papers.
The picture is of I'm now realizing I don't know when photography was invented. It is either a picture or a painted portrait. Don't come at me. I didn't research it. Of a man standing behind a chair. A woman sitting in the chair holding a little baby. And the woman looks familiar. The man kind of does too.
I hand the photo back to Nell so that she can look at it. And then I start reading some of the papers.
Oh my gosh, this is the woman This is the ghost lady. The guy looks familiar, but I can't place him. He just seems familiar. And I'll pass the portrait over to Marcus. And I think Marcus, on taking the picture, his whole body, like a shiver goes through it. The papers that you are looking at are correspondence, old correspondence between Charlotte Sinclair and a Henry Whittaker.
Dun, dun, dun.
Charlotte Sinclair was the name on the book we found, The Lost Diary of Charlotte Sinclair. Henry Whittaker, the founder of Havenbrook. The dates on these correspondence predate the founding of Havenbrook.
Oh.
And they are love letters.
Ooh.
It is clear that Henry and Charlotte were deeply and passionately in love. The kind of love that when you take a step back from it, you're like, was it love or were you just kind of obsessed with each other for a minute? The kind where you're not exactly sure if it would stand the test of time, but man, did it burn bright. Going through the pages, you see that there's another book nearby. And this is where the author of the book we have was doing her research. Reading through the pages, eventually things start to get serious, as they did back then, when you just correspond with people you met once, and it turns very quickly into, I love you. I can't live without you. We should get married. The next page you find is a marriage certificate for Henry and Charlotte. Now Charlotte Whittaker.
And the next but as I'm reading, I'm like, but was that his wife though? Wouldn't we have known?
Yeah, the wife was Martha in everything we found. Not Charlotte. I think Marcus at this point is going to, as you read pages and you sort of talk about what you're finding, he's taking them from you. He's not writing notes anymore. He's a little too overcome with something that he can't describe to take notes. The next page you find after the marriage certificate is a birth certificate for James Whittaker. And in our research earlier, we know that the Whittakers had a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and none of them were named James.
None of them were named James. And after the birth certificate are more correspondence. This time not between Charlotte and Henry, but between Henry and a physician. They say in the letters that Henry is increasingly concerned about his wife. That she's acting erratic, that her moods are unstable, and that at times he fears for their son's life. There's a couple correspondence like these where the doctor is suggesting sending her away to relax or prescribing laudanum, because when you sleep, you aren't a problem. Till eventually, there is a letter where Henry suggests, is there something else to be done? I can't have her seen by the people of Havenbrook anymore. She's not suitable for public. You're looking at those. While you're looking at those, Nell finds, with another little twingy in her nose, a drawer that she opens. Inside is a little blueprint and a manuscript and a map. The blueprint is of the lighthouse The map is of Havenbrook before anything was on it. You can see on the map, the lake was always there. The rock formation in the little center of the lake was always there. And then a little manuscript. And on the cover it says, "My safe haven." Nell starts going over to the side, trying to read as fast as she can as you're finding your information. I think we're both very enraptured in what we're finding. And eventually she looks up and says, "Oh, I know why we have the lighthouse. It was Charlotte. Charlotte and Henry were the ones who founded Havenbrook. And Charlotte always had a love for lighthouses. They were beacons welcoming people to safety. For her, it was a symbol that this town was a place that people could take refuge and be safe in. She called it her safe haven. That's where they got the name for the town. It's named after the lighthouse."
Lucas is just like, "Well, that's awesome that a woman founded our lovely town, but Henry isn't that much of a great guy." As I hand her the last letter that says that, "Is there something else that can be done about her?"
Oh, I think in this moment, as we're putting these pieces together, we both get this feeling at the same time. Also, I prepared all of this and I feel goosebumpy. Whatever, I like it so much. Okay, anyway, sorry. Nell and Lucas both get a sense at the same time and they turn to the drawer that Nell pulled this manuscript and everything out of. And there's a big, not big, there's a file folder in there that we haven't touched yet. Nell feels the little tingling as she looks at it. And Lucas sees it burning the brightest indigo he has ever seen.
He reaches for it. "This is important."
Nell comes over as well, and we sort of are both reading the paperwork. It is paperwork to commit Charlotte Whitaker into the care of a keeper to be locked away. It is paperwork talking about how it will be something they don't talk about. It's not mentioned that because Charlotte is no longer of her right mind, their marriage is no longer valid. They can be divorced. Henry can move on with his life. So in the paperwork, the marriage divorce has gone through, been approved. And we would all know from basic history lessons that we've had in school that back in this time, it wasn't uncommon for people to just lock people away who were, quote unquote, a problem and just sort of ignore their existence. And it looks like that's what happened to Charlotte. The cruelest irony of all of it is that they locked her in her lighthouse. And
it's terrible.
At the very end of the packet, there's a death certificate for Charlotte.
Oh.
Looks like, based on the birth certificate of James, that Charlotte died when he was about 3. And the cause of death on the certificate was severe trauma due to a fall.
Dun, dun, dun!
As we're sort of reading all of this information, Nell feels like she has to look at what else is up on this third floor. And she heads to go check out the bookshelves.
Lucas follows behind and loops arms with Marcus, who seems to be probably still a little out of it.
Yeah. There's not really anything else with the books. It's just something Nell has to do because she loves her books. Right. There's not more information for us here than what was in that room. But she does discover that this third level of the library is full of information on Havenbrook, how it started, the founding people who lived here, and supernatural occurrences that those first founders experienced, along with a bunch of other paranormal information and manuscripts, kind of detailing all sorts of stuff that's happened in the area and what they think could have caused it. So in the future, she knows this is a great source of information if anything like this should happen again.
Yes.
I think we will, at this point, sort of head back downstairs. I think we have to, like, take... No, we don't notice. That's what it is. We don't notice that as we head back down and we close the bookcase and it clicks, locked shut again, that Marcus is still holding the picture. Well, now, I see you've found some of the secrets of the library. And Lily is behind us.
Holy mother of pearl!
Oh my god, Lily. Lily, you are sort of terrifying right now. She chuckles. That's all right. I didn't mean to scare you, dear. It's good that you know that there's more. It's unclear at this point how much Lily knows about what is up there, but she knows stuff is up there. I'm guessing you had reasons that brought you there. Nell just slowly nods. I hope you found what you needed. And then she just tootles off. That's a nice cryptic old lady working in a library.
Good, good. Lucas is just trying to gather his thoughts about what happened and trying to formulate his thought process on the situation before he speaks.
I think Nell kind of leans against the wall and biting her nail. It still doesn't all make sense. Why did she call to Hal? Why have you only been hearing her for a couple months? It doesn't make sense. She should have been... If she's haunting the lighthouse, why hasn't she just always been haunting the lighthouse? What changed?
Maybe something did. Because we've never had any of these odd occurrences since we've been kids. And since we've been aware of things. So something's had to have changed.
Yeah. Something must have happened, but what? I think Marcus will kind of be shaken a little bit from his stupor. You've been Marcus so far. Why don't you go ahead and give me a roll?
Okay. That is a 5.
Perfect. Marcus will realize that he first got the letter to come to Havenbrook to do this book signing a couple months ago.
And Lucas will be like, I don't know why she decided to entice Hal, but here's what I got. And he pulls out his notepad and he starts doing little bubbles. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have Charlotte and we have Henry. Henry is not a great guy, from what I can tell. So he makes a circle and writes bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then connects those two and then points down to James. And then off Charlotte's, he's like, created the lighthouse, made this a safe haven, possible actual town founder. Mm-hmm. And then off James's bubble. It's like, where it did he go? And then question mark. Mm-hmm. And then he starts writing a bunch of extra little notes on there and draws a line from Henry's down to the note that he made that says, don't think Charlotte was crazy. I think Henry just wanted her out of the picture.
Yeah. As you're writing, where did he go? To the bubble by James. Now, gets that little tingle, but she lets you keep writing. And then she points to the bubble that says, where did he go? And says, I think this is what we need to find out. And as you look up from the question bubble, you see around the picture that Marcus is holding that has little baby James in it. It's glowing that indigo, but the indigo from the picture starts to almost bleed or expand to surround Marcus.
Okay. Okay, this is going to be a little off kilter. Marcus, I think you may be related to James and Charlotte and Henry.
What?
Well, I mean, A, this happened when you first got the letter. And then B, you were mesmerized by the photograph and some of the stuff we found. And B, I just saw some weird thingy things. So, what do you know about your family history?
I don't know a bunch. I know that there was a Whitaker. There was a Whitaker. And he had a daughter and was so happy that Whitaker wasn't going to keep going, that she was going to take somebody else's name. That was a big thing in our family. Like, it was the Whitakers and then the Whitaker stopped because there was no male heir or whatever nonsense, that he was a strong proponent of homeschooling. I know a lot of, like, my grandparents were homeschooled because their great grandpa insisted on homeschooling. And things would start to sort of sink in a little bit. Some of the papers up there, they didn't seem important. They didn't deal with Charlotte directly. They didn't explicitly say James Whitaker anywhere on them. But there were also, you remember, pamphlets for boarding schools.
Oh, so he was sent to a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was sent away for a long time and then his mother died, where did he go after that?
He was sent away after his mother died. He was only 3.
Oh. Well, then that would explain why he wanted to homeschool, because he hated boarding schools.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a little crazy, Nell says as she's looking also at Marcus, who very deer in the headlights for all of this. I think we have to go back to the lighthouse tonight. Are you okay with that? And just sort of checking in to see how Marcus feels. How does Marcus feel?
He's okay with that. I think he wants this mystery solved. And now that he's connected to it, I think he has to see it through. He's never one to let a mystery not be solved.
Okay. I think we make plans to go back to the lighthouse tonight. On the way back to or out of the library, Nell staying back in the library because she has to work.
It's her job.
Yep. You see the mayor coming up, and it suddenly hits you and Marcus at the exact same moment why he looks familiar.
Because he's the man in the photo.
He looks a lot like the man in the photo. Not exactly. He's not the exact same man, but he looks a lot like him.
Scandal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you want to jump ahead?
Yeah, let's jump ahead.
Okay, let's do it. I think we were planning on ending today, and I've drawn this out.
Yeah, you did.
You're welcome. I made it twisty. So that night, we all meet back up, and we head back out to the lighthouse. Again, with our paddle boat, we didn't think to, like, find another boat in the meantime. Yeah, no, we're just going to go to the lighthouse tonight. Yeah, absolutely. And we all got there, and at the same moment, we're like, oh.
Oh, we forgot a boat. Damn it.
Didn't plan again. Damn it. And I think everything goes eerily quiet like it was the night before. But it takes a little longer for the singing to start. When we get out to the lighthouse, the day before, the rock had seemed to get bigger. And the stairs had seemed even longer. And it seemed almost impossible to get up towards the top. But it's not the case today. The rock is the normal size. The stairs, though windy, don't go on for like a mile. And we managed to get up there. No trace of the lady, but we can hear her singing. When we get out onto the platform at the top, we can see her. The ghost of Charlotte Whitaker, spinning, slowly dancing around, basking in the full moon. When she turns to see us, she freezes. What are you doing here? And Nell sort of looks at everybody. Charlotte? The ghost has to blink a couple times. Yes? We, came to see why you were here. And Charlotte kind of floats in our direction. And she holds out a hand. And as she does so, she sort of looks at her hand and realizes how transparent she is. How ghostly. And it all sort of hits her at once. She goes from a spirit who was dancing around, a little surprised at visitors, to being very much in the moment and kind of remembering who she used to be. Oh. She looks over at the three of us. Nell, Lucas, Marcus. And you can see a twinge of a smile and a little gleam in her eye. So they kept their word. So glad. As she sort of nods in his direction. Things have changed a lot, I think, from what I've been able to gather. I think people know better than they did then. A lot of times, women have children, face what's now called some sort of depression. Nell sort of nods, postpartum. Sometimes you're a danger to yourself. To your children. They're better about that now, I hope. Nell goes, I would have been all right, I think, with time and love and care. But Henry didn't want to do that. Henry thought only about himself, about his image, about being the founder of a town. I don't think he was the founder of the town. He didn't want to come here. I did. I always felt a pull to this area. And when we got here, I knew this was home. When they put me here, locked me away, and the very thing I named the town after, I got worse. They had someone here to care for me, but they didn't talk to me. We weren't friends. It was a job. I was their ward. And seclusion does awful things to the human mind. I could have gotten better. But instead I got much, much worse. I started to feel like I didn't even belong in this body anymore. What was the point? And then I heard the voices calling to me. Telling me that life should be happy. Life is for the living. And I could hear their sweet songs on the wind. and I would go dance under the moonlight. One of the nights it started to rain. I didn't care. Didn't matter to get a little wet. They tried to tell me to come inside. But another voice, called out a little stronger, told me that I could leave this place if I really wanted. I told them I wanted to, but I knew I was here to protect my little boy. They told me they would protect him. They would make sure he was fine, that he was safe, that he was healthy. That was all I needed.
And we all sort of see a flash in our minds of her back, less transparent, same outfit, dancing around on the lighthouse, hearing the voice, taking a step onto the guardrail, the voice of her keeper behind her, struggling to get up the stairs, and her taking a step and falling. The keeper getting up the stairs too late, running out of time to save her.
It was so lonely here, and I didn't know why I was back or who I was until you.
And she looks over at Marcus.
The poor man from yesterday. I didn't mean to hurt him, but my anger at Henry gave a little more strength to my song than I thought it would. I'm glad he had someone who cared enough to save him. And I'm glad that they saved you.
And she kind of like ghost walks through Nell and Lucas because she don't care about us. And like gently sort of cups his cheek.
You're doing well. And you've come back home. This is where you're meant to be. And I can go now.
And she just kisses him on the cheek. She's a ghost, so she knows she can go right through, but she like makes it hover around the right spot.
I'm sorry that James didn't like being sent away, but I think he needed it. I think you all did. But now that you're here, I hope you know this land is in your blood like it was in mine.
She'll look at Nell and Lucas now, kind of almost for the first time in a way, really seeing us.
Thank you for discovering what was so hidden. Henry did his best to hide all traces of it, of me and of James. He moved on with his life. I didn't care about the people he was leaving behind. Without you, I think I would still be stuck.
And she takes a step back and looks off, and we can all hear the voices this time.
You can be free. Rest easy, dear Charlotte. We kept our promise. We just wanted you to see it. And she disappears.
Lucas is visibly bawling like a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Nell is very, she's not necessarily crying. She might be crying. You know what? She might be crying. But they're very quiet, like slow trickle tears, and she's trying to hold her shit together. I think at the same time, both of our weird crying faces turn to Marcus.
Yeah. And he's just shocked and surprised and sad, but happy at the same time, knowing that he actually has a place where he belongs. And then he smiles and says, I think somebody should change that streak of running unopposed. As he begins to walk down the stairs.
Beautiful. Wonderful. I love that. Do we want to do a quick epilogue?
Yes, let's do an epilogue.
Okay. Do you want to do one? I'll do Nell, and then you do the other. So then you don't have to talk all in a row.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Who you want to start?
So I think I'll start with Marcus.
Okay.
Because I think he decides to continue to write. And he writes the story of Charlotte, mm-hmm. So that it gets out there and people know. and he dedicates it to her. Mm-hmm. And changes a few facts and things so people don't swarm Havenbrook. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and he starts campaigning to become mayor of Havenbrook. Mm-hmm. And all the while spending lots of time with Nell and Lucas as they help him with his mayoral campaign. Yeah. Which is a landslide. Mm-hmm.
I love that so much. Also, I didn't get a chance to mention it because there were so many other things. But the reason the plumbing at the town hall was on the fritz was also because of Charlotte. Because it was one of the buildings that was one of the first ones here.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. There's that. Nell goes back to work the next day and finds Lily packing up her desk. Lily tells Nell that this is what she was waiting for, that she needed to know that Nell could protect all of the secrets of the library, of which there are many. And that since she had found this and she knew about the undercurrent of the supernatural in Havenbrook, Lily could finally step down and it would be immediate. Nell is now the head librarian, the only librarian at the library in Havenbrook. And she has taken to actually using the living quarters up on the third floor so that she is not living at Serendipity anymore. But before she officially makes the move, she has a big last day of being able to go just across the street. Not that Brood Awakening is far away from the library, but it's not across the street. She goes over across the street to have a morning routine with Lucas for maybe the last time. And it feels good to have it. But there's a lot of things left unsaid in that morning, I think. Unless you have something else to say about it. Floor is yours.
Okay. Lucas also went home that night to think about all the things that have just come to be, what he wants to do and how he wants to go forward. And he does enjoy his morning routine with Nell. And he kind of thinks to himself, well, maybe we just need a new morning routine. And thinks of ways to, now that she's at the library, that maybe he'll start doing deliveries so nothing has to change. And as he's putting things away, he runs down to the basement and he's moving some stuff around and he accidentally knocks a photograph off of one of the shelves. As he goes to pick it up, he looks at it and he's like, oh, that's odd. It seems to be of the town square. It's of four people. He doesn't know these people. No identifying. It's just a really old photograph. Comes back upstairs and sets it aside and gets his stuff all set and ready to go as things on the wall just start to shake. Like something big is coming through town. Mm-hmm. And you hear the rev of a motorcycle. And someone is coming into town on a very, very loud bike. And that's where we're going to end. Beautiful. Our epilogue.
Chef's kiss.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was great. I love that.
I did too. We have to stop talking right now. We have to stop. And we love you and thanks for listening, but we have to stop this so we can record a different thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. We love you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you loved Havenbrook as much as we did.
Really, really do.
And we'll catch you on another thing.
See you on the other thing.
Bye. See you on the other side.
Thank you all for joining us on this story from Havenbrook, our narrative RPG. The stories we tell here on Party of Two, Roll of the Dice, are helping to create the town and develop rich backgrounds for the NPCs. Thank you so much for being part of this journey. If you have any questions or comments about Havenbrook, or you'd like to help us playtest the game, please email us at joinpartyoftwo@gmail.com or send us a message on Instagram, username joinpartyoftwo. For both of those, that is the number 2. Join us for new episodes every Friday. Want to support the podcast? Subscribe to Potrod and give us a rating. If you leave a name you'd like us to use in the rating, we'll include a thank you in an upcoming episode. You can also follow us on Instagram. We love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week.